We're talking about where do we go from here in this Christian life. The cool thing about the Christian life, and we're going to talk about this later, but is that God doesn't, we don't just get saved and then like we realize that we need God and we realize that we need him in our life and we come and ask his forgiveness and then God says, okay, have fun with that. You know, come, I'll see you when you get to heaven, like do your best. It's not like that. I mean, some Christians I think try to do it on their own, but we do not live this Christian life on our own. We have the Holy Spirit who leads us, who speaks to us, who encourages us. You know, and I just want to thank those of you that came to the front to pray or to worship. The goal of the church is that we would follow the Holy Spirit's leading. We don't always understand why God prompts us to do the things that he does. But, you know, our job as Christians is to follow his lead. And our desire here at Hidden Treasures, those of us that come, those of us that are in leadership, those of you that are here, I believe, and are seeking the Lord, is that God's will be done and that he would be exalted in this place. You know, church is God's idea. It was not man's idea. It was God's idea. And gathering together as Christians goes back all the way back to the Old Testament. Lifting our hands in worship goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Singing and praising goes all the way back. And it's something that God encourages us to do. And I just want to challenge you that when you come in, from the time that you come in, and actually even before you come in, because we want to live our whole lives listening to the Holy Spirit and sensitive to what he's saying to us. But when you come into church, you know, don't sit in Sunday school and just like be critical and think about, you know, whether or not that most of you do probably, but you know, like come in and just prepared. God, what are you saying to me? And then when you come, I just encourage you, when you come into worship, my sister is not like me. If you know us, we're very different. She is a planner. I am learning to be a planner in my 40s, still learning that. She is a planner. But she has submitted that desire to plan and to plan things out to the Holy Spirit to say, God, what songs do you want us to sing? What order do you want us to sing them in? How long do you want us to sing them? And when do you want to move? And so I would challenge you, when you come into worship, pay attention to the words that are being sung. Because there's a reason why God is speaking. And don't just go, oh, I really don't like this song. I wish we would sing a song that I really like, you know. Or, you know, you can get so distracted by, you know, what the music sounds like and what it, you know, what all of that is secondary. None of it really matters. You know, we do our best to practice and to do it with excellence, but then we give it to God and say, God, this is about you. And I just challenge you, from the time you come in, and again, not just, I'm just speaking about the church time, but our whole life should be this way. That God, what are you saying? God, what can I learn from what's being spoken, from the songs that are being sung? God, what are you wanting to reveal to me? God, you are worthy. Maybe I wasn't focused today on the fact of just how awesome and how worthy you are. And just, man, throughout the worship, just listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that God is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I know worship is not just singing a song. We worship in many other ways, but it is part of it. Throughout the Psalms, you read, worship the Lord with gladness, sing to the Lord all the earth, clap your hands, all you people, clang on the clanging cymbals, on the loud, you know, cymbals, on, you know, with the strings, with all of these things. And so that's why we do what we do, is because the Bible says to. And so I just want to encourage us, just from the time that we come to be together and to fellowship together, let's just be in one accord in that we, our ears are open to say, God, what do you want to say to me? God, how can I worship you more fully? How can my attention be more focused on you so that I cannot miss anything that you want to say? Because that's just the way to live. So one of the great things about relationship with the Holy Spirit is that he shows us truth. Will you just put that first slide up? Our lives are transformed by what we believe and who we listen to, by what takes priority in our mind, by what our focus is on. And that's why I know, even for me, like if I don't watch a whole lot of TV, sometimes I watch it if, you know, the kids are watching it and we bond, you know, and watch something. But if when I do, sometimes I can watch one show and I'm amazed at how my mind just gets wrapped up in these characters, you know, in this TV show, you know, and like if I go to bed and I'm thinking about these people, you know, and how does that happen? Because we are influenced by what we're thinking about. And so we need to make sure that our heart is open to hear. The Holy Spirit reminds us what Jesus said. He shows us things to come, the Bible says, things that are coming, and he speaks what the Father is saying. And we need to hear that in our world today, because the world yells at us, this is important, and TV tells us this is a priority, and people tell us this matters, and we need to keep central what is truth. Because if we don't, we'll just be kind of all over the place based on your feelings, and based on what other people are saying, and based on what the opinion of society is, and based on, you know, what matters, and you can just get all caught up in that. You know, listen, I just want to challenge you again, and we've probably said this in times past, but like social media, be careful with social media, because it can consume you. You can just get consumed with either frustration with people and their opinions that don't agree with you, you know, or, you know, irritation or comparison or all of that. You know, listen, if you're going to use social media, number one, make sure that you focus it on doing and saying things that are pleasing to the Lord. Make sure that everything that you post represents Jesus, that it is pleasing to him, that it is something that he would find, that he would want you to say. Because the truth is, we can get very proud of our own opinion, but, you know, make sure that it's something that would honor God. But number two, use it as an opportunity to pray. I know that's one thing that I've talked, Janine and I have talked, like when you read something, man, that person, they are going through something, and just begin to pray for them. So it's important that we listen to the Holy Spirit every day because of what Jesus said. John 16, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. So if you want to stand. So Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I wonder how many times he has thought that with me. But I prayed, God, help me to get to the place where I can bear everything that you want to say to me, because I don't want to miss what he wants to say to me. Verse 13, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, so this is talking about the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's that word big, it's only, or that word all, it's only three letters, but it's a very big word. It encompasses a lot. So he will guide you into all truth. In every area of our lives, we can seek God, and the Holy Spirit can lead us and lead our lives. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of what of mine and declare it to you. Okay, you can be seated. So the Holy Spirit, as I said, reminds us what Jesus said. If you put that slide up again, Joe, reminds us what Jesus said. He shows us things that are coming, and he speaks what the Father is saying. And we need that in our daily life. The Christian life is not, we are not just good people that just try to be good moral people. There are lots of people in the world that don't have a relationship with Jesus, that they're nice people, but they are going to hell if they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And that's harsh, but that is the truth. Because I can be a nice person and be full of pride and envy and covetousness and, you know, idolatry, be all about me and presenting a front that looks like I'm nice, but in reality, while the Bible says that you can be saying nice words, but in your heart is full of ugliness and deceit. And so it is about so much more than that. It is about being surrendered to Jesus Christ and letting the Holy Spirit lead our lives every day. We need to be listening to him in order to know where we're going, what he's saying to us right now, what he wants us to do and accomplish. The words that come from God are so important to our lives. I read a book probably now 4, 5, 6 years ago called Practicing the Presence of God. And it's about an old monk that lived like in the 1600s. But he learned to just walk with God every day. because I would hear people talk about just how close they were to God. And I thought, God, like, I want to be that close. Like, how do I learn how to just keep you in mind throughout the day? Listen, as we open up, and I've said this before, but as we open up more of our lives to God, as I realize I am not meant to just figure out everything by myself based on my own wisdom, based on how smart I am, based on the experience that I already have, I am to be listening to the Holy Spirit who will guide my life all the time. Jesus, the words that come from God are so important because they lead our moments and our days. And as I've learned this, I'm like, God, I need you all the time. I need to know what you think I should do with my children in this situation. I need to know what you think we should do with our finances in this situation. I need to know what you think I should wear today. I mean, you might think that God doesn't care about those things, but sometimes he does. I mean, sometimes he's like, you know, whatever, wear what you want. But, you know, there are specific things that he does lead us in. And we need to open up our lives to him, to allow him to speak to us. And we're going to talk about how you learn to hear the voice at the end. But Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, now this was a part of when he was tempted by the enemy. And we're not going to go into that. That's a very good study. But I just felt led to bring this verse out because this is what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He told us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And then he said, we're not to live by just bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to be hearing from God's word and letting his word feed us on a daily basis. Jesus understood how important it was to rely on words by the Father, to be led by him in every situation. And he told us that he told the disciples and us that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Now, the word guide means to show the way, to teach. In our Bible reading this past week in one of the Psalms, I think it was 77, but the verse just said, I will guide you with counsel and receive you into glory. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, because that's what I need, Lord. I need him to guide me every day. And so he guides our daily lives, but we have a part to play in that. Now, a lot of people think if they just believe in God, that God is guiding their life. Like, well, I believe in God, so I believe everything happens for a reason. And, you know, everything that I'm doing and everything that I'm having, that's just God's will. That is not true. Things that are not God's will happen all the time. And God gets blamed for a lot of things that people are doing when God is telling them to do something else. How many of you have ever said, and I heard this, I think Joyce Meyer, I don't know, somebody said it, and I was like, that is really true. They said, we hear God all the time, we just don't recognize it. How many of you have ever said, I knew I shouldn't have done that? How did you know? Because somebody was telling you that you shouldn't have done it. Or I knew I should have been quiet. I knew I shouldn't have said that last thing. You know, because the Holy Spirit is going, hush. Or the Holy Spirit is going, nope, don't do it. Don't go there. You know, and we're like, no, but it's so good. It needs to be shared. You know, I mean, listen, God is speaking to us, but we are missing him a lot of times. Because it's just like a radio. If I'm tuned into the wrong station and I'm going, well, the Lighthouse hasn't been playing all week. I don't know what their problem is, but I've got my radio turned to 90.1. I'm not going to hear them if I don't have it on 89.3. I need to be tuned in and listening. God is speaking, but Christians miss him. Why? Because we're just so busy doing our own things, making our own plans, and then we're praying, asking God to bless our plans that he didn't direct. We need to surrender our lives to him and listen to him and give him the opportunity to speak to us. I thought Brian was going to preach my message this morning in Sunday school, but I've learned that's just confirmation. I mean, so you're going to hear, those of you that were in Sunday school, some of the same verses, but pay attention when that happens. God doesn't make a mistake, and God knows that most of us need to hear things more than once in order to really pay attention. Like, how many of you hear something? Me and Rick have these conversations all the time. I told you that I was going to do that, or that we were going to do that. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. We were standing right here when it happened. Of course, you know, we have all these children, and so maybe that I can blame them. You know, life is just busy, and I'm talking to them, and he's talking to them, and, you know, I'm trying to keep Eden from climbing all over everything, because she's a climber and now thinks that, you know, she, if there was a mountain, she'd be ready to climb it. You know, I'm like, can you just stop? Like, can you just not try to climb over the couch, you know, because that's dangerous anyway. So, you know, life is busy sometimes, but Proverbs 3:6, when things are said multiple times, pay attention, say to God, God, what am I missing? Is there something you want to reveal to me here? And I just want to encourage you. Sunday school is very good. We have classes for all the kids, all the way down to nursery age kids. So come to Sunday school and let your heart. It's just a good way to just hear the word and fellowship with people. We have coffee. You know, if you're tired in the morning, that's okay. You know, get your coffee. So, okay, Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. If you put up the second slide, I defined some of these words. Well, I didn't find them. I typed them up, what other people defined, which is from the Hebrew dictionary. The word ways means course of life or mode of action. The word mode, if in the definition, in the dictionary, means a way or manner in which something occurs or is experienced, expressed, or done. So, in the way you express things, in the way you do things, in the modes in which you conduct action in your daily life, acknowledge him. Now, acknowledge is a big word that means know. Seek to know him in everything that you do and everything that you say and the way that you live your life. And so, God, I was given this verse multiple times when I graduated. And so I've studied it over the years. But I love this verse because it says that if I will seek to know him, that he will direct my path. He will show me. Like I said, that doesn't mean that I just go, well, I believe in God and I believe everything is going to work out. Now, I am an optimist, so I do tend to believe that everything is going to work out. But I also am desperately seeking him. God, what is your plan here? What do you want to do? What do you want to say? And if my life is surrendered to him, then he does direct our path. It's amazing how he will, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit or an angel is just kind of nudge us sometimes. Like you're headed the route, you're about to go somewhere and you hit every light, you know, on your way and you're annoyed because you're thinking, oh my gosh, it took me 20 minutes to get where it should have only taken me 10 because I hit all five lights on Highway 40, you know? I mean, but God knows, like there's a reason, you know? I mean, we have to trust. God will lead your life, but you have to acknowledge him. You have to allow him to direct you and you have to listen when you feel that, nope, don't say that, don't go there, don't do that, or stay home and pray, or, you know, whatever it is, we need to listen to when we hear the Holy Spirit speaking. So we are to know him and he will direct our path, because this is another scripture that Brian shared this morning. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now here in the South, we say, Lord, just because, oh Lord, you know, how many people say that? Okay, that's not what this is talking about. Like, the Lord means supreme authority. It means complete, like, God, you are in charge of my life. And so, that's why the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because the Christian life is about making Jesus supreme authority, Lord of our lives. So it says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. How do we know what the will of the Father is? Number one, we have to read it because it's written in his word. Number two, we have to listen to his Holy Spirit who lives within us when he speaks to us. Because I would love it if God gave us chapter and verse for everything. Like, you know, everything, every decision that you have to make, you know, God gave us it. But we know that's not how it, God doesn't give us a verse per se, like thou shalt get this job, you know, or thou shalt, you know, spend this much money on this or whatever. We don't get that. But we do have the Holy Spirit who will direct us and will prompt us and will lead us. So it continues, many will say to me, verse 22, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? So these are spiritual people. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Knowing him is a big deal. It is an important part of the Christian life. How do we know him? God is not this faraway being that just does his thing while we do our thing. He wants to be intimately involved in the details of our lives. That's why prayer is so important. Jesus expected that people would pray, that they would fast, that they would go to the temple, that they would give. All of this was just expected. And a lot of people, the basics of Christianity, they think, well, I'm a pretty good person. If you think you're pretty good enough that you don't need to read the Bible and pray, you are deceived. That's just the bottom line. You are deceived. Because if I was good enough that I didn't need God in my daily life, and I could do it by myself because of what I already knew and because I was a pretty good person, then why did Jesus have to suffer and die on the cross? There are lots of good people that, you know, they're living a nice life. They're pretty nice people. They do some good things for people. Christianity is not that. Christianity is, God, my life is yours. What are you calling me to do? What are you saying to me today? How can I obey you in every area of my life? That's what Christianity looks like. And so it is our job to be listening to the Holy Spirit, to be letting God speak to us through his word, to be spending time with him in prayer and in worship so that we can experience his presence and know him. And he wants us to know him. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or to work iniquity. Now, God will guide as we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God will guide us. One of the best ways that he does that is by reading the Bible. If you put up the next slide, we've talked about this a lot, but I know this from experience. I grew up in the church and I really was a Christian. I mean, I really felt like I tried to love God, but I'm going to tell you, having daily devotions was a huge struggle for me. And I was raised in a Christian home. Like, there was no excuse for it to be a struggle for me. But let's just be honest. It's easier to watch TV. It's easier to sit down and just watch TV. It's easier to, you know, talk to your friend. It's easier to get on social media. It's easier to go outside and work. You know, it's easier to do a lot of things than it is to take time out, to spend time with God. And the enemy will fight you. You'll recognize it. You determine, I am going to get up and pray. You will sleep through your alarm if you haven't done it in 10 years. Like, I mean, sometimes that might happen. I don't want to speak that over you, but it's happened to me. You know, I make these grand decisions that I'm going to do these things. So you have to fight back. Don't go, well, I guess it just wasn't meant for me to be. I'm just not that kind of spiritual person. It just wasn't meant for me. I tried that and I don't understand the Bible and I don't get anything when I pray and nothing is happening. Listen, we live a spiritual life, and as we begin to obey God, what begins to change first is in the spiritual. And then as we continue to practice what God is telling us, then the natural, the things in the flesh begin to change. But it takes time. It's a process. And so read the Bible, but how we read is important. We need to read in faith. And this is important. I'm going to show you a scripture about this. But also, we need to seek to gain in revelation, not information. We talked about that in Sunday school also. It's not just about being able to, you know, answer a Bible trivia test. It's not just about being able to, quote, regurgitate back what you read. Sometimes we'll ask our kids, what are you reading? What'd you read about? And they can, you know, recite it back to me. And that's good that they can remember what they read. But what's more important is, what did the Holy Spirit say to you through it? What revelation are you getting? Now, it's very important to understand. You might not have a great revelation every time you read the Bible. You might not be like, oh, God just spoke to me and it was so wonderful. It was exactly what I needed. I know We've been reading through the Bible, though. And the cool thing is the Holy Spirit will bring it back. Sometimes weeks, months, years later, I was struggling with something physically. And I was just kind of praying, and I was like, God, do I, you know, and I kind of had gotten some advice. I think I had looked it up on the internet, actually, and I wish, don't, that's dangerous. Be careful about that. But I had gotten some good advice about on the internet, and I was like, God, should I do this, or should I just, like, trust you to bring healing, you know, without doing this extra thing? And it came to my mind that when we were reading about Hezekiah, I think it was one of the kings that got sick, and that God said he was going to heal him, but then he told the people, make this mixture of figs and put it on him. And it was like, God teaches us through the stories. What he taught me through that, the reason he brought that to my mind, was the Holy Spirit was saying, you can do both. I'm going to heal you. And I knew, like, okay, I can do both. I can take this extra supplement, and I'm going to pray and trust God to heal me. And that's how the Holy Spirit will speak to us through his word. He brought that back to my mind and just kind of let me know, yes, this is right. This is what you should do. I've had God teach me in situations that I was like, God, you know, I'm concerned about this situation. And a story will come up in the Bible just out of the blue. The Holy Spirit will bring back a story. And I start thinking about the story and how the people responded and what God was, you know, and God begins to teach me through the story. So we need to read the Bible in faith. Hebrews 4:2 says, for indeed the gospel, or the good news, that's what gospel means. Oh, and I just wanted to say, I have both of those up there because, you know, this kind of Bible is awesome. I've used this for years, but the Bible apps can be pretty good too. Like, I have a Bible app on my phone that it has references. I highlight on there. I write notes on there that I can go, and it goes across all the versions that are on my, like, so, you know, it can be a very good thing. So don't feel bad. If you're using your Bible app, I don't have nothing against that either. So, okay, Hebrews 4:2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. This is why you can come to church and hear and hear, and you might even be able to initially, if somebody asks you what the message was about, well, you know, it was pretty good. She talked about faith and how we should read the Bible and, you know, whatever. But if you don't apply any faith that God is going to work in your life, that God is going to bring change, that you are, you know, that God is speaking to you, it's not going to profit you. And that's why if you read the Bible and you go, well, I guess it works for all these other people, but I just don't think that's going to work for me. You're not mixing faith with what the Holy Spirit is trying to show you, and it's not going to profit you. But it's not the Bible's fault. There are two parts. We read the Bible. We rely on the Holy Spirit because 1 Corinthians 2:13 says he is the one who teaches. We rely on him to give us revelation, and then we apply faith to say, God, I believe that you're working through this. And if you will read the Bible and say, God, would you just teach me about yourself? We've been reading through the Old Testament prophets, and here's a lot of judgment in the Old Testament prophets. Like, we've been reading through Jeremiah, and there's a lot of loss and a lot of judgment and a lot of, but man, if you'll read it and say, God, what are you teaching me here? Like, one thing that God has taught me is just, you see, God would say, if you will just repent, he would send Jeremiah with a message again to the same group of people. If you will just repent, I will forgive you and not bring this disaster on you. But if you're not going to repent, then these things are going to happen to you. And the truth is, we need to know those things because we need to know that judgment is going to fall if we choose to persist in evil. And that is the love and mercy of God that he tells us those things. So, number two, we need to practice what we're learning. James 1:21 and 22 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So as the Holy Spirit begins to convict us of things, we need to lay aside those things. Because that's how change in lifestyle begins. This is another thing that we talked about in Sunday school. We need to lay aside those things. We need to put them away, throw it off, cast it aside. Because then we can receive what God is trying to implant in our hearts. Sin gets in the way of us hearing God sometimes. Because sometimes that's why God begins to deal with you. Hey, you don't need to spend that much time watching TV. Or you don't need to watch that show on TV. Why? Because then your mind is thinking about that instead of what God is trying to say to you. And so we have to lay aside those things. And it says, receive with meekness. Meekness is humility. We need to receive with humility the word that God is wanting to implant in our hearts. If you put up the next slide. So as the Holy Spirit begins to convict us, then we need to lay aside those things. Lay aside filthiness, overflow of wickedness. Listen, I was thinking about this, the reason it says overflow of wickedness. Whatever struggles we have, often, if we struggle in an area, it can overflow. Like, if we struggle with, like, I just need to be in control with everything, like, it can overflow and encompass everything. If we struggle with anger, it can overflow into every relationship that we have. If we struggle with lust, it can, whatever it is, if we struggle, you know, with covetousness, it can overflow into everything that we see and every relationship that we have. And so we need to lay aside those things. And as the Holy Spirit begins to convict us, then we admit to God, yes, God, you are right. That is wrong. I need your help to change. I love that. When we surrender our lives to Christ, we come as we are. If you put up the next slide, Joe, we come. I put this picture because I've often thought when we come, you know, no, we might not think. And this is the thing is that as the closer you get to God, the more you realize how much you need him, like the more you see, because the Holy Spirit begins to show you that is ugliness in your heart. That is pride in your heart. That is selfishness. That is, you know, the need to be right. That is, you know, whatever it is. The Holy Spirit begins to show us. We come, though, with all of our stuff. Encourage people. If you talk to people, and some people think, well, I need to get all my ducks in a row. I need to, you know, act like a Christian before I become a Christian. Now, people do need to count the cost and be willing to change and recognize God is going to expect your life to change when you become a Christian. So if you know, sometimes people are dealing with that because they're thinking, am I ready to really surrender? We do need to be willing to surrender, but we don't need to wait until we have everything in a row because you can't do that apart from him. If we could, then we wouldn't need Jesus. We come like this, but not just our feet. We come dirty from head to toe. And then we let Jesus wash us and cleanse us. And sometimes even as Christians, we see just dirt all over. God, I just feel so dirty right now. Listen, that's why we need the blood of Jesus. Just as much as we walk with him as when we first got saved. When the enemy condemns you and says, you're a terrible Christian, why are you even trying? Just say, listen, I am a Christian because of what Jesus did. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. And we continually have to make it about Jesus. He is the one who cleanses us. But our nature, what happens is our nature begins to change on the inside. And that's why there's often a struggle, because things that we felt fine about, now all of a sudden we feel guilty about. And there's a struggle. But this is where it's very important to ask God and others for help. Sometimes we come into the church and we so desperately want to get it right. And listen, I understand that it can be hard to ask for prayer, that it can be hard to admit your struggles to people in the church. But we need each other. I talked about this a few weeks ago. 1 Corinthians 12 says, the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. If you are in the church, you need other people and they need you. That's what Jesus said. Nobody in here is meant to do it alone, apart from other people, independent, just me and God. Yes, our relationship with God, when we stand before God, we will stand before God, you know, just us and him. But the Christian, the church, it is a group effort. It is meant to help each other grow, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. So we need God and we need other people. So understand that you are not alone. God doesn't save us and then leave us to clean ourselves up and say, okay, have fun with that. Good luck with that. Come talk to me when you have it all together. like it can feel that way, but that is where we have to learn by reading the word, what God says, and when the enemy's just trying to condemn us, because the enemy will. He'll say, look at you, you're so much worse than all those people. Everybody else has got it together, but you are struggling. If you talk to people, you realize they're struggling too. They might be struggling with different things, and it might look different, and you might not be able to see it on the outside, but they are still struggling. Why? Because we are all striving to look like Jesus, and none of us have arrived yet. So we need encouragement, and we need help. And so he will help us. And as we begin to lay aside the things the Holy Spirit is showing us, then we receive with humility the words that's being planted in our heart. But we have a part. So I want to show you just real quick as I close. Will you put up the last slide, Joe? Three ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we're not going to spend a long time on each of these because that's just not what I felt to do. But number one, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through bringing a scripture or a song. Sometimes if you just have a song that just shows up in your head out of the blue, pay attention. Now, if it's a terrible song that reminds you of sin, then throw it out. It's not from God, you know. But if it's like, you know, you're going, I believe sometimes that's why God leads Janine to pick out songs. I've had songs come to my mind that we sang like Sunday night at church, and it just and is in my mind out of the blue because God is reminding me of something that I need to remember. So pay attention. If a scripture comes to your mind out of the blue, or even if it's a piece of a scripture, a lot of us don't know every, you know, scripture. But if it's a piece, like I'm telling you, it doesn't sound spiritual, Google that thing and pull it up. Pull up Google and just type in the words that you know and then read the scripture and let God show you what he's saying to you through it. Because God wants to speak to us, his children, and he will often speak through a scripture. Number two, through a prompting or a feeling. Now, this is a lot of times like we leave a situation and we go, man, I knew I should have invited that person to church. Like, I knew I should have, you know, just whatever it was. The prompting or feeling. Now, this, I'm just going to be honest, can get confusing because you're trying to go, God, is this you? Is this me? Like, it's a process of understanding. So don't beat yourself up if you don't automatically know if it was God or not. Sometimes the way that I have learned is after the fact, I go, oh, God, obviously that was you. Like, but, you know, say, God, I'm sorry that I missed you. Don't be condemned. Chalk it up to learn a learning process. You know, ask God to forgive you, but then move on. Don't let the enemy condemn you. We're all learning. But pay attention if you feel a prompting. You know, like a lot of times if I get down and bow, it's just because I feel like, God, you are so worthy. And I just feel like I need to. It's not because I want everybody to see me, you know, with my pregnant self, you know, get on the floor. It's because I feel a prompting. You know, I feel like I should do this. And the truth is, it used to matter what people in church thought. And if people, what people thought about me, well, I was doing that. I care less and less, praise the Lord, you know, because it's more and more about him. So if you feel a feeling or a prompting, and then the third thing is through a thought that's not your own. I was talking to somebody about this recently. If you wake up with a thought, you've been praying about something and you wake up with a thought on your mind, pay attention to that thought. Sometimes when our mind is clear in the morning, and if you've been seeking God for direction, I could name you times that I woke up with a thought in my mind. And I knew, like, oh, wow, God, that's got to be you. Now, as we walk with God, we learn to let him help us decipher, because every thought is not from God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought into captivity. That's because not every thought that you have is from God. If you pay attention to him, you realize, yeah, that was not from God. But as you read the word and as you get to know him, then what happens is you can recognize quicker. Another thing, if you have specific direction from God on something, and then you start to feel like you should do something different, pay attention to that, because the enemy will try to pull you away from what God has already told you. Another thing, my mom has always told me, pay attention to the first thought. the first thought that comes in a situation, because, you know, often, now that's not always, like I said, this is, we could spend a lot of time and we don't, you know, we're not going to spend all this time today talking about it, but learning the voice of the Holy Spirit is a process. Understand it's a process. So try not to get frustrated with the process, but trust God to begin to speak to you. But if you have a thought that's not your own, for example, you know, when it comes to giving, I've had where God gave me a thought and I knew it had to be God because it was not practical. Like it was not what I would have done. And I thought, well, okay. Another thing, when I have found myself arguing sometimes in my mind, like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. Sometimes I've realized that's because I'm arguing with God. Like I'm thinking, who am I arguing with? Like, what is this conversation going on in my head? Now, sometimes we're just arguing, you know, the flesh is just kind of bouncing around like, and you're trying to figure out, but pay attention when a thought comes, especially like a good thought or something, a way to bless somebody or something to give or some direction in something. And you know, like I didn't come up with that. Like that came from God. Pay attention to those thoughts and learn to recognize, because I guarantee you, if you are a Christian, God is speaking to you. You just need to learn to recognize that it's Him. And it's exciting to recognize His voice. So, what is God saying to you? Are there things that God has been speaking to you about? Twice, if you were in Sunday school, you heard be doers of the word and not hearers only. I would encourage you during the altar call, say, God, is there something that I'm hearing that I'm not doing? Is there something that you're convicting me of that I'm ignoring or that I'm excusing or that I'm, you know, pushing away? Are you saying Lord, but not really practicing what He's telling you to do? Are you seeking to hear His voice and to know Him through relationship? Are you reading the Bible with faith that God is going to speak to you? So if you're not doing any of those things, it's an easy fix. I'm going to hold on here when I step down. Then just pray and ask. I say, God, I am sorry about whatever it is that you're not doing. And then say, God, would you help me? And then begin to make steps with His grace to make changes. If you are not saved and Jesus is not the Lord of your life and you have not been cleansed from the dirt that's on you, on the inside and on the outside, you know, mainly the inside, we're not going to give you a shower or anything, then let God come and surrender to the Lord Jesus. If you need prayer for healing, for anything, we would love to pray with you.